From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. So, how bad is the financial bleeding? That was the question behind the questions at a big economic conference last week. Ben Bernanke chairs the powerful Federal Reserve System. He didn't say the nation was in recession, but he did pledge that government would do something soon to give the economy a boost.
In light of recent changes in the outlook and the risks to growth, additional policy easing may well be necessary. The committee will, of course, be carefully evaluating incoming information bearing on the economic outlook. Based on that evaluation, we stand ready to take substantive additional action and provide adequate insurance against downside risks.
To put it plainly, the Federal Reserve is looking hard at cutting its interest rates to banks again. The Fed has so far cut one full point from the short-term interest rate since last September, and another cut is in the works. Will this be enough to stop a cycle where people lose their homes, big banks take a financial hit, and big-time international investors swoop in and buy up chunks of American companies? For more on that, we've got Bill Spriggs. He is professor and chair of economics at Howard University. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks.
So Bernanke says the Fed plans to take, quote, substantive action. What does that mean?
Well, they've made several interest rate cuts. I think what he means or maybe foretelling is that they understand those cuts may have to be bigger and they may have to accelerate them.
Now, explain how a cut like that trickles down to somebody getting a paycheck. I mean, when the Fed makes a cut to banks, how does that affect people on the day-to-day? What's the sort of domino effect?
Well, it makes it easier for banks to make loans. It makes the money cheaper for them to make loans. And it sends a signal that the Fed would really like for them to be making loans. And the real worry here is what will happen to corporations. Will corporations find enough liquidity? If the economy slows down, will they be able to borrow enough money to keep themselves afloat? And that's the concern. So it filters down to folks because if companies are able to keep getting money, they keep making payroll and people keep their jobs. If the companies find it difficult to get money, then it means they have to start laying people off.
Let's pull out a little bit to the political picture. Democrats and Republicans in Congress and also ones on the campaign trail are looking at a bunch of options to see what they can do to give the economy a jolt. So there's a plan for one-time rebate checks, extended unemployment benefits, higher food stamp payments. The president announced that he's considering a range of options. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has gotten into the mix. In your opinion, let's just break them down one by one, those three proposals. What might they do to the economy? One-time rebate check, what would that do? Basically, you're getting a little bit of money back for just one quick pay-your-bills moment.
That's the idea, is to help people pay their bills, to keep them from retrenching and buying stuff. You know, the big worry this past December from retailers was that people didn't spend as much money as we had hoped, and people are very nervous in the retail sector that as folks pay higher mortgage payments or are paying more for gasoline, then that's less money that will go into the retail sector, and that's what keeps generating jobs. So the nervousness here is that if we don't put some money in people's hands right away, that sales will drop dramatically.
But what if the government does give a one-time check and then people spend it, and then it's like, well, what am I supposed to do now?
Well, most recessions are short-term, and the hope is that if we can just get people past a couple of months, that the economy will right itself. That's the hope. It may take more than that, and that's why you hear people talking about extended unemployment benefits and looking at some other fixes in addition to the sort of instant money in your hand solution.
There were tax rebates given in 2001. Was there any evidence that those helped the economy?
Not very much. They weren't as targeted as they should have been. You really need to put them in the hands of working people, those who take most of their paycheck and spend it right away. They're the ones who are hurt first and deepest when there's a recession. They tend to be the ones who lose their jobs. So it's very helpful to target and make them big enough that people will actually be able to spend the money.
Now, let's take a look at the whole question of the unemployment rate. The Labor Department released unemployment figures earlier this month, and the jobless rate hit 5% in December. It was a two-year high for the U.S. What's behind the unemployment rate, Bill?
Well, in this case, it was that the retail sector started laying off workers already, and that was because they thought they were going to have a weak December. They did have a weak December. Whether that means that we will see more layoffs coming, we'll have to see when the numbers come out again, but I would suspect that there still would be weakness there. The only sort of net job growth was happening in the government sector. So we have continued weakness in construction, and we'll have even more because we know that home sales are going down, new home sales are continuing to fall, and there's no need to hire construction workers when there's a backlog of homes that need to be sold. And then we have the problem of manufacturing. Even though the dollar is very weak and exports are showing some strength because it's cheaper for people in other countries now to buy American goods with the dollar being cheaper, we're still losing manufacturing jobs. So it looks very scary out there. Individuals are carrying a huge amount of debt. And not only are they getting behind on homes, because we've seen the news about foreclosures, but they're getting behind on credit cards as well.
When you say, when you basically explain what sectors jobs are disappearing from, are we talking about, with homes, it sounds like, and this could take a while, that people are not going to get construction jobs because there's no need to build new homes because people don't have the money to buy homes. But housing can be cyclical. Manufacturing, is that something that's just gone or disappearing from America? Is there a chance that manufacturing is going to rally in the future?
Well, that's the big problem in figuring out what would the recovery look like if we went into a recession. If you look at the 10 highest paying industries in the United States, many of those are manufacturing, and most of those, as you just mentioned, are showing trends that have nothing to do with the business cycle, because during the expansion, they were shedding jobs right and left. They're continuing to shed jobs. So the problem is, for those jobs that are providing higher pay, they're disappearing. And the one sector that had been providing jobs, the financial sector, we know is very weak right now. So the recovery is a big question mark. Where would we generate the jobs to spur this recovery?
If you were giving advice, this is wearing a different hat, but you are at Howard University. Mm-hmm. If you were giving advice to someone who said, you know what, I want to go into a field where I never have to worry about getting a job, where people are going to beat down the path to my door and ask me to work for them, what would you tell them?
Well, the one area where we are growing is in health. That is a sector which continues to eat up a lot more of our dollar bills here in the state. So there's no doubt that health-related fields are going to continue to grow, and that's a safe industry. But the other industries at the moment, even the ones we used to tell people about, information industries, being a web publisher, being a computer programmer, those jobs showed weaknesses during this past recovery. So it is a puzzle. We do need a stronger safety net. It's good that politicians are talking about extending unemployment benefits now and not waiting until we get to the crisis point where the extended benefits could potentially run out on folks if we don't put them in place now.
What about this idea of discouraged workers, people who might not even show up on the charts? Do we have any information on people like that?
Well, we do. We keep track of two important ratios. The employment to population ratio is the share of people who have a job, and unemployment are just people who are looking for a job but can't find one. Discouraged workers so fall in between those two key numbers because they would include the folks who don't have a job, and so they influence the employment to population ratio. We are very close, but not quite close enough to the records we reached in 2000 when it comes to unemployment. We're farther away on the employment to population ratio. We don't have the same share of workers out there with jobs as we did back at the peak in 2000. So that's where the discouraged worker effect comes in. There are a number of people who just have not come back to the labor force during this recovery. Women dropped out of the labor force. Younger people did not enter the labor force. So those are two key populations that are very sensitive to whether we're really generating a lot of jobs.
So when you talk about women and young people being vulnerable, what kind of programs or structures help change that? Things like Job Corps, do they work? I mean, you know, if someone gave you a discretionary $500,000 to evaluate, you know, what works, what would you bet would come out of your research?
Well, we know that younger workers are going to have a harder time transitioning out of high school. So, yes, things like a Job Corps type program to help the very young workers. In this current recovery, it was actually workers a little older. Educated workers were having a hard time making the transition. And you have to raise wages in order to get women into the labor force, and wages weren't increasing at a fast enough rate during this recovery. So without the wage growth, a lot of women stayed home. They didn't return to the labor market once they left during the recession. So those are two elements. You have to do something to keep wages up, and you have to do something to help with the transitions between school and work.
Well, Bill, we will certainly ask you more about that in the future. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Bill Spriggs is professor and chair of economics at Howard University in Washington, D.C.